Amen. I'm reading in the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to read verses 38 and 39. And I'll take my thought basically from 39. And I'm going to talk on this morning that God put a face on the love of God. How God put a face on His love for us. In other words, it's not just say God loves us and you don't know much about it, but it's personalized to us. Amen. The love of God. I think about when Barbara's doing tennis, she asked her coach one time, says, do you believe in God? He says, he looked at her for a minute and didn't say anything for a minute and says, I believe in a superior being. Say, well, I believe God's more than that to us. That you just believe in a superior being somewhere, you know. Amen. I believe it's personalized to us. Amen. I believe He puts a face on it that we can know, we can understand. He makes it personal to us. And I said concerning Sister Aether that passed away from us this past week that she put a face to the body of the love of Christ, you know. I mean, the love of Christ in her for the body of Christ. And I believe we're to do the same thing, don't you? Praise the Lord. So God's love isn't just something that we've heard about, that we've read about, or that somehow feel like it exists. No, He put a face to it. He put a person to it. Amen. Jesus Christ came as the love of God. Hallelujah. So we don't have to say, I believe there's a superior being. I believe He loves us, and I believe that He exists, and all those things. No, He's real today. Praise God. He's real in our soul. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is He real to us, He's within us. He came within us through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's within us. Praise God. And He said the Holy Ghost would spread the love of God abroad in our hearts. See? So, praise God. I love Him, don't you? All right. Let's pray before reading. Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning, Lord, for Your mercy and Your goodness upon us and for the many, many great things You do for all Your children, Lord. And, Lord, for letting us know that You're so near to us. And Paul says, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Lord, I just thank You that You're not a God afar off. Your love is not something that we've just heard about and we think exists, but we're not sure. Lord, we know it's for sure, and You put a face on it through the Lord Jesus Christ and through Your people down through time, Lord, God, that have expressed the love of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that You'll anoint us, Lord, and that You'll just help us to say something that will benefit and bless the people, and I pray that You'll help the people see, Lord, that You love them and You care for them and You are the good shepherd, Lord. We just thank You for it now. Bless everyone together. Bless the hearing of the Word, wherever it's heard around the world, God. I just pray that You'll just bless each one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, now I want to read Romans 8:38. It reads like this. It says, for I am persuaded. I could preach on that message before I get to it. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor heights, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And that about covers everything, though. He says, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, Moses spoke of the love of God, and Moses spoke of God. The Old Testament portrayed God, but the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ that when a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child, and his name be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Counselor, Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. Hallelujah. So God has come down to be with us, to be real to us, to be personalized to us, and He put a face on the love of God. In other words, somewhere or another, you could hear a name. And I know Brother Enoch over in Malawi. A lot of people heard us talk about him and so on, but now they saw pictures of him and saw what he's doing and all, and now when we speak of him, that it puts a face on who we're talking about, see? Amen. And that's why it is the love of God, Jesus Christ put a face on it. Amen. And that's what you're to do. And Jesus said, "This, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another." Praise the Lord. And the Word of God teaches by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and that's the body of Christ. And Paul said, "Ye are the body of Christ." Hallelujah. So it's not something we talk about in a mystical term that we can't identify or can't zero it in on something. No, you are the love of God. Hallelujah. You're the face of the love of God. When we are what we're supposed to be and walking where we're supposed to be walking, we are the face of the love of God. We're the face of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. And as we spoke of Sister Aether that has gone on to be with the Lord this past week, we spoke that you could see the love of Christ. Hallelujah. You could see it's personalized in a person, see? Amen. But we want that same love to be personalized in us. Hallelujah. Not just that Christ loves you. That's good to say that, and it's good to know that. But He wants us to be more personal than that. Paul said the things which was lacking of the body of Christ, the suffering of Christ made up in my body. And he spoke to the people, said certain things to the people. And he said, "These things I say unto you that my love might appear to all." In other words, you could see the love of Christ in St. Paul. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I can see the love of God there. And I'm so glad Paul went forth with the message on you. To me, it was one of the greatest apostles. And to the Gentiles, I think I could say that and be very scriptural in saying it. He brought Christ to us, see? He made Christ live to us. And that's why any true person of the Lord, man of God, woman of God, child of God, it brings the love of Christ right to you and make it personally to you and put a face on. Hallelujah. Amen. How many like the thought here now? It just came to me this week. I read it, and Brother Doug said, "I tell you, I believe that's inspiration." You know, on that he liked it real good when I was reading this, and it seemed like it just kind of jumped that out at me that the love of God in Christ Jesus. See, nothing can separate us from the love of God, and I want you to know which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, prior to Christ Jesus coming, amen, we could hear about the love of God, but likewise we could hear about the wrath of God. And He was veiled in the veil in the Old Testament, in the temple, you know. There was a Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go back once a year to offer sacrifice. And it's there where the glory of the Lord was at. Nobody, you could guess about it, you could wonder about it. And the high priest may tell you certain things about it. Amen. But it was very impersonal, see. It was something you couldn't approach unto God. He's a spirit. He's somewhere. He's a God. We don't know all about Him. He's very impersonal. And He's back there behind the veil. You know, and the Bible talks about badger skins and all, where they had the temple there. Difference. He's behind the skins. Well, now he ain't behind the skin, he's in the skin. Is that right? Amen. He's in these old skins, you know. The love of God. So when Jesus Christ came, he came as God among us, Emmanuel. And Jesus Christ, in him was manifested and revealed the love of God. Other words, we can put a face to it. Praise God. I like that, don't you? Put a face to it. Praise the Lord. Now, any of you, I could have heard about you. Someone could have told me about you and told me certain things about you. But I really wouldn't get a face when they talked about you. But now when someone tell me about you, I see the face, the person. I don't know all the things you said about the person. I just see the person. When you mention that person's name, who he is, but then you come mention a person to me that I've never saw. Maybe I've read about a little bit. Maybe I've heard about. But I can't get in my mind who you're talking about altogether. And that's the way it was with God, see. His love, he loved the people and so on like that. And he had certain plans of salvation in the Old Testament, but he came and he manifested himself. He put a face to the love of God. And that love of God was one that was willing to go to the cross and die for your sin. And the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. And again, he said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. And that's that love of Christ that's manifesting itself. Now, there's two kinds of love. There's human love. And our human love, we should love one another in the human realm. And this people have great love for their family. They'll do great things for their family. And that's good. Amen. But then there's a love that goes beyond that, see. How many knows it? It passes the family ties. Amen. Some people, if it's for the family, yeah. But we're the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, aren't you? Amen. In the family of God, you're baptized into one Spirit. You've all got the same Spirit, see. Now, in the earthly family, you can have a family can have two children. One of them act one way and another act another way. And they're not much alike, are they? And you take, for instance, Esau and Jacob. They both had the same mama. They both had the same daddy. They both lived in the same house. But Esau, he didn't care much about the things of God. And all he wanted to do is get his bow and arrow out there and kill a deer, you know. He was a hunter, you know. And he didn't care a whole lot of things about the things of God. And he had the birthright, but he really didn't care much about it. But Jacob was right the other way. They were had the same mama and same daddy, of the same family, but they were going different ways, see. But now the family of God, see, they all got the same Spirit because we got the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we bring our nature in subjection to the law of Christ, and the Bible teaches us to bring our thoughts in captivity to the law of Christ, that we can think like Christ thought. And Paul said, let this mind be in you which were also in Christ Jesus. Amen. And said, I would that y'all have the same mind, the same judgment. Y'all speak the same thing. Oh, glory to God. And we definitely all got the same Spirit. And by that Spirit that we got, we're baptized into that one body. Praise God. He gives us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That began to change us. That began to cause us to think like God. That began to cause us to lay aside our natural human ways that's contrary to God's plan. And Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. And when we reach a certain point, praise God, God baptizes us into the body of Christ. And then we're all part of a body, see. Then we're all part of the family. Then we're all part of one mind. Then we're all part of one voice. Then we're all part of that apostolic leadership that came forth under St. Paul and down through the age, down through, restored back to us again this day and time. See? Amen. So that makes a difference, doesn't it? Praise God. And I believe today the body of Christ has a face to it. It's not just every denomination out here saying we're the body of Christ. And no doubt there's saved people probably in all denominations. Irregardless of what their name might be or might not be, I think there's people there that have that love God to a point and has had some type of experience with the Lord. But that don't identify the body. See, there's a body in the earth. Hallelujah, there's a rapture to take place. We're to be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. There's a group of people going out of here as the body of Christ, and in them the love of God's manifested. And when the rapture takes place, no doubt there'll be many people that's left here that knows God to a point, that love God to a point, and that have heard about God and to some degree want to do what God wants them to do, see? Amen. But there's a group that's baptized into the body. That's the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. Now, Paul said, as God was manifest in Jesus Christ, when you looked at Jesus Christ, you saw Almighty. You saw God. Not that He was God, the Eternal Spirit Himself, but He come to manifest the Father. And He said one time, and maybe more than one time, probably several times. They said, show us the Father. Who's the Father? You talk about the Father. I've heard the Father. And this one say that about it, and that one say this. He said, show us the Father. That was feeling bad. Show us the Father. He said, have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen me? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. How many knows it? Not that He was the eternal Spirit, but you couldn't see Jesus by a true revelation without seeing the Father. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can't see the true body of Christ today without seeing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, because, amen, Paul put a face to the body of Christ when he said, ye are the body of Christ. You've got the same mind. You've got the same judgment. And so would you all think the same thing? He said, any thoughts that's contrary to the will of God, he said, bring in captivity to the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, there's the putting the face on the body. Now, when God began to move in this end time, and he began to move, bringing the church out of the church world, amen, the seventh church age messenger, God said in the last days He would restore us back, see. Now, how many believe He's going to do it? If He restores us back, we got to look like something like the early church, you know. We're in a different country and different customs and all that for us here in America, and we're in a different time period. But the love of God's the same. How many knows it? Amen. So God sent a prophet, and he began to preach the Word of God. He began to tell about Jesus. He began to say the spoken word is the original seed. He began to say, just speak the word as Jesus did and it shall be done. He began to bring a people into a line of thinking that just the church world out here, that's not the bride, see. Amen. He began to say, come out of her. That's the denominational system. Come out of her, my people, and be not partake of your sin. He began to put a face on what the bride of Jesus Christ was and is. Say. Hallelujah. How many sees it? Amen. Now again, let me read that part here on this. I want to get this so that I certainly don't want us to not put enough emphasis here. He's talking about, on verse 39, talking about what we cannot, nothing can separate us, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Watch now, this is what I want you to know. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's where the love of God is. Amen. How many sees He put the face on the love of God? You can tell what somebody say, how do we know God loves you? Look at Jesus. Amen. What did He do for you? Was He the good shepherd? He said the good shepherd laid down His life for His sheep, see? Amen. Did He die to save you? Amen. Does He lead you? Does He guide you? Amen. See, God put a face on His love. Hallelujah. He said this child that would be born would be called the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. So I tell you, God's moving in this hour that we're living in. Hallelujah. He's just moving by His Holy Spirit. And He's just moving here. Amen. So the little thing here going off on me. But I tell you, God's moving. And He's trying to bring back and present to this end time people a body of Christ that the world can see actually a face to what the church is. Hallelujah. Now, God took Brother Brown off the scene in 1965. But He'd call out a people and we could begin to zero in on what the body of Christ is. He began to put a face to it. Hallelujah. Amen. How many see? He began to put a face to it that this denomination couldn't say we're the body of Christ. That denomination say the Catholics is it. Another say the Baptists is it. Another say this is it. Another say that. No, it has to have a face to it. Woo! Hallelujah. How many see it? Has to have something that we can see, know, be, identify. And I believe there's a face to the body of Christ today. It's a group of people that love one another, all believe the same thing, looking for the rapture. Hallelujah. And the message from the prophet of God came and God began to heal the sick. God began to do many things. And God gave him a vision one time. And prior to the vision, there's a couple of things happening in his life. God put a face on His love through Brother Brian. It says the Son of Man would be revealed again this last day. Jesus wouldn't come back as Son of Man to be revealed. But He'd send a man and put the Spirit of Christ in so much that He would reveal the Son of Man. So the love of God is to be personalized. A face has to be put on it, see. And when I heard the prophet speak, I saw a face to the love of Christ, see. One time he was cutting grass and got into a hornet's nest. Them hornets began to swarm around him to such a way they were just about to cover him up. He said, little creatures of God, but the Spirit of God came upon him. He said, little creatures of God, said, I didn't mean to bother you. Said, just go back to your nest and I promise it won't bother you anymore. Amen. Those hornets, they began to get a circle and went right back in the nest and he left them alone. Amen. He said, that was the love of God. Then one time he went across the field to pray for one of God's saints, a lady that was sick, that needed prayer, and he'd heard there was a killer bull in the pasture, but he'd forgot. He was working for a power company, checking power lines and stuff, so he just pulled his truck up and took his... I believe at this time he was a game warden, to get more correctly. He took his gun off there and put it in the truck, his game warden truck, and started across the pasture to pray for this lady. And about time he got about halfway across, that bull started coming, snorting, kicking the dirt and snorting, and he looked around, see where he could find something to climb. There was no way to get out of the way of it, you know. Here it come, just a snorting at him. Well, He began to pray, Lord, you got to help me now, Lord. I'm in trouble. And I'm in big trouble, Lord. I got to have your help. He said the Spirit of God came upon him. And he says, "Bull, I didn't mean to mess with you. I didn't mean to get on your territory." And says, "I'm just going over here to pray for one of God's people." And said that bull started running and wham, wide open. Amen. And so he said, "Said little boy, I'm not going to hurt you. Just lay down now, and I'm not going to bother you." And that bull came at him running and said, just before it got to him, said, just locked all four up and slid right up to him and laid down there. And he says, "Bull, just lay here till I get back." And says, "When I get, and I'll not bother you. I promise you, I won't bother you. I promise you, I'll stay out of your territory. Just let me cross the pasture and pray for one of God's children over here that's sick." And that bull laid down and didn't mess with him and laid there till he went and prayed for the lady and come back. See, amen. He said that's the love of God. And one time he was thinking about what's over on the other side. He was praying and wondering. So I've always been scared to death. And I didn't know what it would be like over there. And so I was just uncertain. It kind of scare me, you know. And so one morning he was laying on the bed meditating. Said the Lord, he said, "I wonder what's beyond the curtain of time." Said the Lord, said, "Would you like to see?" He said, "It would help." So all of a sudden, there he was. He began to feel himself easing up out of the bond. He looked, and there was his body on the bed. Here he was. And so he was raising up, and all of a sudden he was with all these people. Saints have gone beyond. And said, there was someone talking to him there and said, "Who's all these people?" They said, "These are your," the one that was talking said, "These are your people. You've been gathered unto the Lord. Been gathered unto your people." He said, "Well, there ain't that many Brandon in the whole world." See, that's sometimes we think our people's our family. And it is, naturally, but we got a greater family. My family goes all the way back. I'm part of St. Paul's family. Hallelujah. How about it? Amen. He says, "These are your family." He said, "There's not that many Brandons in the whole world." He said, "Not Brandon, it's your converts." And he began to say, well, these people are real. They ain't spirits. They're real. He said, "Yes, they're real." Said then, says, the one's talking says, he said, "Well, I won't see Jesus if I've passed on." He said, "No, you can't see Jesus till all the other saints gathered together." Said, "You're all going to be together here." And said, "This is the body that's spoken of in," and maybe, it's been a long time since I read it. I may not get every word, just word for word. But the point is, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, that we have a body reserved in the heavens. If this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we got a building waiting of God. And the very second your spirit goes out of this old body, entered into that body. Hallelujah. You're not going to be out here floating around somewhere. Amen. There's a face to the love of God for you over there. It's that theotomy, that spiritual body that's reserved waiting for you. Hallelujah. So Brother Brown, he began to talk. He and the people began to run up to him, hug him and say, "My precious brother, my precious brother." He said, "I don't understand. This is y'all ain't spirit, you're real." They said, "Yes." Said, "Here we don't eat, we don't drink, but," said, "we're in perfect peace. We're in there's perfect happiness." And says, to say sublime, said that wouldn't even touch it. It was so great. And he says, "Well, again, where's Jesus?" He said, "He's up higher." Said, "He's going to come bring you all back to earth and raise the dead and change the living. And then we're all going up." Amen. That's when we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, say. Amen. Them that's going on, they're in rest, they're in perfect peace, but they ain't going to see Jesus till I do. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll all see Jesus together and we'll all come back to earth. The Bible says, the Lord Himself descend heaven with a shout, voice of archangel and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be changed and be caught up together together with those that have passed on through time, through the church ages and all that God's ordained to be in bride, we'll all be resurrected. Then we'll go up. And then we're going to have a jubilee with the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So those that died, they're in perfect peace. And Brother Brown said, in that body, see, there's no more reproduction. Said one lady come up just as beautiful as she can be and hugged him and said, you know how I am about stuff like that. I don't have no women hugging on me or something like that. But said, that wasn't a thing, you know. Didn't feel like it would be in the earthly realm, you know. And she was about 22-year-old. And the one speaking to him said, did you know this lady? And he said, no, I don't believe I do. He said, she was past 90 when you led her to the Lord. He said, that beautiful young lady that was past 90, and here she was just as young and beautiful, just in the prime of life. I tell you, there's something over the hill, ain't there? Amen. There's something worth serving God for. Hallelujah. So he put a face on many things, things that we didn't know about. God put a face on it for us so we can know and be identified. If I die before this sermon's over, I ain't going to be fooling around here. I'm going to be in that new body and I'm going to be so happy. The body ain't going to have no pain or anything. Amen. I'll have eternal life and I'll be meeting the brothers and sisters that's gone on before. Amen. Talking. Then we all going to come back to earth and God's going to resurrect these old bodies, and then we'll take on the natural part of the body, and then that body we'll eat. Amen. Because Jesus had a, Bible said, we'll have a body like unto His own glorious body. And after He resurrected there, the disciples said, this is a spirit. We saw Him die, this is a spirit. This can't be Jesus. All it is a spirit. No, Jesus said a spirit don't have flesh and bones. Said, have you got anything to eat? Amen. Now watch this. Oh, glory to God. They set out some fish and honey. I've been planning on some of these days trying some fish and honey. I've never ate it together, you know. I don't know how it would taste. Amen. But honey mustard and fish, I guess it'd be fine. But they set some fish and honey out and he ate. And talked to him and told him a few things, and all of a sudden he disappeared. And the Word said, you'll have a body like unto His own glorious body. That's one of my great pleasures of life is eating. Amen. I'll bet that'd be one since I need a doctor like that part right there. Yeah. Amen. So what he did, see God putting a face on this. It's not some something that we can't imagine what might be. We're floating around out here in a little spirit somewhere. No, it'll be a body you'll know. Amen. You'll know as you're known. Amen. We'll have a jubilee. It's God's body gathered together, the body of Christ. He's put a face on it. It's in the earth today. It's real. God put a face on His love through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now He's put a face on His body. Hallelujah. Through you and I, see. Amen. Now Brother Brown came and brought that then. God took him home, and now we begin to see what the body of Christ is. He's putting a face on it. Oh, hallelujah. And then here come Raymond Jackson. Some of the things we didn't know that Brother Brown didn't bring in, God further put a clarity to it. We see clearly. It's kind of like that one that was prayed for, you know, in Bible days. This person couldn't see. Well, Jesus prayed for him. And Jesus said, can you see now? And they said, well, whoever it was, man, I don't recall right now, a man or woman, said, can you see now? The person said, well, I can see, but people look like trees walking around. All right, you need a little more sight. And that's what we're going to keep getting more and more sight till we see as we're seeing. Amen. It's going to be perfectly clear in our minds, see. Hallelujah. So God sent a little another message, sent Brother Jackson to clear up some of these things, and now we see clearly. Hallelujah. How many knows that? Praise God. So Jesus prayed for the person again. They saw people as people. Wasn't no more blurry vision to it. And I'm telling you, God is getting this church where there's no more blurry division. Not division. Blurry vision. I get untwisted here and say that one. Amen. There'll be no more blurry vision as to what the body of Christ is. Hallelujah. We'll see it. We can put a face on it. We put a face on the love of God. And we know where we're at. It's not something that we have to wonder about, imagine, or think, could it be, or maybe this, or maybe that. Amen. Our God, He's a dissolver of all doubts. There's not a bit of doubt in my mind about the love of God. Amen. Because Jesus Christ came to show us the love of God. And He showed us whatever it takes, that's what He would do, see. Hallelujah. He died on the cross there to pay for our sin. He raised again from the dead. Amen. And brought forth those Old Testament saints. Glory to God. And He's bringing us forth. And then this last day, as the church went through the church ages, we lost out. We didn't know what it was, see. Amen. We lost our way. The church ages lost their way, didn't they? Amen. Many times in life, we lose our way as individuals. How many know that? Somebody saying something about someone that weren't acting good or something, or wasn't, they didn't understand, they weren't maybe what they should be or something. Well, sometimes people lose their way. The church age did. Hallelujah. But I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way. Woo! Hallelujah. If you lose your way, we got a way. We got a good shepherd. Well, amen. We got someone to show us the way back home. Hallelujah. And I think that's what God did starting about the turn of the century. Amen. 1906, there was a man born and a light come in the room where he was born, 1909, I believe. Amen. And the voice of God began to speak to us again. Show us the way. I have found the way. I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way. And it's as bright as it can be. And Job says the path of a righteous man is as a light that shineth more and more until that perfect day. And Paul said, we've been looking through a glass darkly, a whole lot of things we ain't seen, a whole lot of things we didn't know. Amen. But the time has come where we'll see us face to face. I'm looking in the face of the love of God when I look at Jesus. I'm looking in the face of the love that's in the bride when I look at you. Hallelujah. Because in you is the love of God manifested. And we want to be sure that we keep on manifesting more and more. Not that we're trying to be saved, we're already saved. Not that we're trying to be good, He gave us His goodness. Not that we're trying to be special, He made it special. When your name went on the book, that made you special. Hallelujah, but we do it because we love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. A wife don't do something for the husband, or a husband and wife, or children, or however it might be, just because they feel obligated got to do this. No, if you do it because you feel obligated to do it, just don't do it. Amen. If you don't love me, amen. That's what I always say about people come to church. And I heard a TV preacher this morning. I don't watch him too much because I can't stand him. Amen. But he said, God just showed me there's 1,000 people out there going to send me $1,000. And he said, some of you are going to send less and some maybe more, but there's a special group of 1,000 going to send me $1,000 each. Well, I tell you what, and that's iniquity. Hallelujah. And they'll bag, they'll twist, they'll sell, and the man says, I tell you what, everybody that sends this 1,000 now, they're going to get their name put on the brass. We've got a plaque on the wall, going to put their name on. Well, my name's on the book, and that's the only place I need it. Can you say amen? Amen. A lot of people come to church, they'll say, if I could just get this and pay tithe. Some of my church don't pay tithe. If all of them pay tithe, we could make it all right. And how can I do to make them pay tithe? Well, I want to ask you this. Who made Abraham pay tithe? Abraham paid tithe, but it was something in his heart that said, Lord, I want to give a tenth of all that you put in my hand. Amen. And nobody told him to do it. It was just something in him. So, amen, if it's in you, you'll do it. And if it ain't in you, ain't going to do you no good if you do none. Amen. How many know that? Praise God. Amen. God ordained that way in the Old Testament when they were under the law. He said, yes, you got to give a tenth. But in the New Testament, Abraham was before the law. Amen. It just came in Abraham's heart. When he met Melchizedek, and I'll tell you, if you ever meet him, hallelujah, hallelujah. As soon as he met him, he said, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that comes into my hand. Amen. Melchizedek didn't say, you got to give me a tenth, you got to pay your tithes, you got to do this. No, it was something in his heart. Amen. He saw the face of God in Melchizedek. Hallelujah. If you see the face of God in the church, amen, the move of God and what God's doing, so people couldn't keep you from doing that. Amen. Somebody say, how can I get my people pay tithe? If you're a child of God, ain't nobody can keep you from it. Amen. And you ain't doing it just to pay. You're doing it to say, Lord, I'm going to give this plus a little. That's the way I always do. Amen. But nobody don't tell. And God meets the need anyway. How many knows it? Praise God. I believe that there will be a church operating, functioning, and they'll never have a bag of penny. That's the body of Christ. How many know that? There'll be a love of God to get this word out and love for one another and love. They'll say, what can I do more? Amen. See, it ain't we don't do something to be saved. We do it because we are saved. We don't do it. And this brother said, I tell you what. And I'll say, brother, I say that pretty loosely. He said, everybody do this, God's going to bless them threefold. In other words, you give 1,000, he's going to give you back 3,000. Well, I tell you what, that's the old enemy there, see. Amen. There ain't no place in the Bible says God's going to give you 3 times what you give. Amen. If he does, every devil in the world be wanting to give. Because they'd want to make money. I found the way to get rich. I can give them, they'll give them. Well, I always thought about this when people begin to do that, especially preachers. I begin to say this, if that be so, then why don't they just start giving, 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 giving? And they're going to have a truck, they'll get a bigger truck, haul their money. Why do we have to be the one to do it, you know? Amen. I tell you, there's a church today, the Bride of Christ, and here it is. Amen. God's brought us through the wilderness, and Solomon said, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? That's you. Hallelujah. You're leaning on your beloved. You've saw the beloved. Amen. You've met him. He's become part of you. You're baptized into his body. He's united with him. And he that is joined to the Lord's one spirit, you become part of him. Amen. And you got that love in you. Hallelujah. Because you've got the attributes of Jesus Christ. Amen. The fruits of the Spirit, one is the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, see, look here. Look here. The love of God. God put a face to his love. Amen. That would be a good answer, probably. What the Barbara's coach said to her, that might be a good answer. I believe that there's a superior power out there somewhere, a superior being. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's all he knew. You know, that's all he could say. He probably did the very best he could answering the question. I believe there's a superior power. Well, most everybody figures like this. How'd these planets get out here? How'd this get here? How'd that get here? There must be a God somewhere, surely. Surely there's somebody out there or something or other. Well, God put a face on it. Amen. If you want to see God and know about God, look at Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and says he's the head of the church, his body. And if you want to know about it, look at Jesus. Because in him, that's the face of the love of God. And then the bride is the face of the love of Christ. See, God wanted the face put on His love, He sent Jesus. And now Jesus is gone, He wants a face to put on the love of Christ. So you look at the bride. That's the bride, the real true bride. Now, we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. I tell you, I enjoy this thing, folks. Amen. You might want to walk around miserable, long face, look like a mule. Amen. I heard this preacher preaching. He said his son, this man, his son's riding down the road, and said they saw a mule there. And he said, Daddy, stop and let me see that mule. And he stopped and looked at that mule. And he said, this mule must be a Christian. He said, why do you think that, son? He said, well, look at his long face. Amen. I tell you, there's joy in serving God, the Bible says. Amen. You don't have to be long-faced like a mule. You don't have to walk around and live in misery. Hallelujah. He said, I come. I better slow down. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Getting beside myself. Better turn to... Amen. Do you love Him, man? Praise God. I appreciate Him, don't you? I thank God for Him. How many sees the love of God? How many sees He put a face to it? Now that you saw that, how many see He put a face? He put a face to the love of Christ. It's the bride. It's the church. When He called it out, identified it, He put a face to it. It's somebody that loved the Word, wants the Word. Amen. And the spoken Word become the original seed. Jesus become their very own life. Hallelujah. And this is all that really counts to them. Oh, yeah, we got to work. We got to do these things. But those things, while we're doing it, we ain't concerned too much. We know this is it. This is our very own. Christ is our very own life because He connected His life to ours. And His is the prevailing life. And you're dead and Christ is living in you. How many believe it? Praise God. All right. Now, how many see, as we come closer now to you at the end time, He said have apostolic ministry. Then He calls out and He identifies further. And I'll say this in closing out here. He identifies the bride further. He says the bride is a Gentile bride. See, in the book of Acts chapter 15, He said He would call out the people of the Gentile of people for His name's sake. And Peter and all the 12 came, and they were preaching to the Jews, but God raised up an apostle to the Gentile. And He called out a people for the Gentile, and God said unto Paul, you read there in Acts 26, I believe it is, he starts several places there through the book of Acts, you read, you'll tell what Paul telling about his experience when he was struck down. One of the times he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll make you a light unto the Gentiles, delivering them from the power of Satan to the living God. I'll tell you, there's been a light shining in our day and we saw it. We know that the bride is the Gentile bride. And let me tell you something, don't let it blind you. But there's still a light shining. It's as bright as the noonday sun. Hallelujah, taking us further and further. We're possessing the land. We're becoming the very bride of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we're baptized into the body. And in us, and when I say us, I'm talking about the bride. Amen. God is putting a face on His love. Now, I want you to ask yourself one question. How do you fit in that? If God's putting a face on His love, through Christ, how did Christ act? And if Christ is putting a face on the love of Christ through His church, His body, how are you acting? Amen. Can people look at you and see the love of Christ? Amen. Think about that just a moment. Amen. That is so real and so. Amen. And you're the Gentile bride, and the bride is clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And God took your sins. Here's the love of Christ. And this is in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 31. The Bible says, He became sin for you. that you might become the righteousness of God. In other words, He took your sins and He gave you His righteousness. Now, can you see the love of Christ? Amen. You're as righteous as He is because, not because of anything you've done, but because He gave you His righteousness. I said, I don't try to live right to get righteous. I live right because He's given me His righteousness. Amen. I don't try to do certain things to be saved, but I do them because He saved me. And the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says, He has made me accepted. TD on, I'm already accepted. And I do certain things not to try to be accepted. I do certain things because I have been accepted. Amen. I don't do something to try to get in the bride and be the bride. I do it because I am the bride. Hallelujah. I don't do certain things because to try to get eternal life. I do certain things because I have eternal life. Amen. I don't do certain things to try to get one of them glorified bodies that's reserved for me. I do it because I've got one. Amen. God bless you today. Praise God. I'm so glad I came to church, aren't you? Praise God. Been a blessing to me. God bless each one of you. Amen. Now, Jesus came to reveal the love of God. God put a face to His love. Jesus came back into the church to put a face on the love of Christ. Amen. He brought it out of the church ages. We didn't know our way around. He sent a prophet to put a face on what God wanted. Then He sent Brother Jackson to further establish us and show us what's going to happen to the Jews, identify the brethren, and that the bride could know her brethren, which were the Jews. And now He's saying, little bride, we're almost there. Amen. There's still a fivefold ministry now coming into being. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's what God's doing now. Amen. As the bride is filled with the love of Christ. Amen. Amen. I preached for a preacher, and I'll say this in closing. I preached for a preacher over in South Carolina. And the preacher says, Brother Ben, I tell you what I want you to do. And I was listening. I was just listening. I didn't answer him. But he continued talking. He said, I want you to put the fear of God on this morning. You know. In other words, preach a hellfire, brimstone mess. I tell you, how about some love of God? Let's see if it won't work better. Amen? How many knows it? Amen. Yeah, he said, put the fear of God in them this morning. Amen. Well, you know, that's maybe his idea, but mine happened to be different, see? God bless you this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this another privilege that You've granted us this side of eternity, Lord, to speak to Your bride and to see Your bride, to see the face of Your bride. And Lord, as You make Your countenance shine forth upon Your bride, I just pray, God, that by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that You'll help us to be that You've ordained us to be in this hour. And help us to be very appreciative of what You've done for us. And Lord, help us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we're called, that when people look at us, amen, as people look at Jesus and saw the love of God, when they look at the church today, they'll see the love of Christ that passes all understanding. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrop of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, He light of the world. And do you believe He's the light of the world? Well, I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me.
just my salvation on Calvary's tree. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. We're on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove.
God bless you this morning. Amen. Appreciate you coming to the house of God. I hope that you can take something. As Brother Benius always used to say, I like to come to church where I get something to put in my pocket and take home with me. Amen. I hope you got something you can put in your spiritual pocket and take home with you. It'll bless you next week. God bless you. Amen. Wonder if there's anybody having things to say before we depart today. Amen. Let's remember the sick now, Sister Sturgill and Brother Dean. Let's remember him as he'll be, no doubt, I don't know, heavy hearted, I guess you might say. I really don't know what the feeling would be. Some feelings I don't know how to put words to it. But anyway, God knows, he'll probably need prayer. Amen. Anyone else need prayer?